What a blessing. Good morning. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, what a blessing and joy to be here this weekend, ministering in the prophetic conference at Mount Zion Church. What an exciting church you have here. Amen. This is very special to me, if you weren't here this weekend, because this is the city that I got saved in. A young college student, had aspirations of being a good hockey player. Wasn't quite good enough, but and God had another plan that I would meet Him and be born again in this particular city because of the outreach of the people of Bemidji that know Him. Amen? And I think as I was praying over this morning and all that's taken place in this conference, to sort of summarize what I remember the Lord saying, because I know, Chuck, when we came up here, we really didn't have any plan. We're sort of inspirational ministers, and so we got a lot in the well, and so we let the Holy Spirit bring out what's in the well. And as I look over the conference, I see a number of things that have begun to unfold and has a purpose for everyone in this church. And the first thing I wanted to bring out was, in sort of a summary, was that God wants all the believers in this church, and actually all throughout Bemidji and the surrounding area, is to understand that God wants you to go into a place of the realm of the Spirit. And it's not an easy place to get to, because everything in hell, everything in the demonic realm, does not want you to begin to operate in a place in the realm of the Spirit. Because if you are operating in the Holy Spirit, He will be defeated every single time. People will be set free. People will be delivered. People will be healed. People will be born again. There'll be supernatural functioning and finances and homes. In every area of life, you'll begin to function and operate at a supernatural level. That's why Satan does everything he can to keep you out of that realm. And you also have another problem. You have the flesh and the law of sin and death. That law doesn't want you to go there. But I want to announce to you that there's a law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus that's much more powerful than the law of sin and death or demonic forces. And so the illustration that came out was, it was like going pilot going through the sound barrier. And because I have a man who's in my Bible study who's done that several times. He was a former pilot, and he's gone through the sound barrier a number of times. And he talked about the shaking and the resistance as you come up to that sound barrier. But once you break through, he said it's like you go into a supernatural peace. And the acceleration of the plane is almost unlimited at that point. There's like no resistance. It's like you're in a different realm. It's like where oil is flowing. The anointing is flowing. But he said to get there, there's tremendous shaking and resistance. How many know what I'm talking about? And so Chuck Yeager, I think that's it, right, his name, the first guy to do it, he was a kind of a maverick and a cowboy, because they used to go right up to it and sort of creep into it, and the plane would start shaking and maybe just fall apart. He decided to put the pedal to the metal. And so he hit that thing head on and accelerating, and he busted through, and he was in a place of the realm of peace. Supernatural speed. That's what it's like in the Christian life. That God is provoking us to move into that realm so we will be victorious Christians. And we also covered another area, which was going in not just ankle deep, not knee deep, not just up to your waist. But when you go into the river, you got to go in over your head. That's fully yielding. That's going in where you're no longer in control. Because if I'm ankle deep in a river, I can still go up against it. If I'm even knee deep, I can still resist it and go up against it. But if I go in over my head, it's going to carry me where the river wants me to go. And the promise is this: if you go in and totally give up control, totally yield to God, and let the river take you where He wants, you will end up in a place that is teeming with life. And there's healing there. How many need to be healed? Get into the river and go in over your head. Now, Chuck Porta brought a message last night. If you weren't here, how many were not here last night? Just raise your hand. I encourage everyone that was not here to get the CD of this message. I think it was one of the most powerful messages I have ever heard on the gift of tongues and how critical it is for the body of Christ. It is critical to this church. And this is a prophetic conference. I more operate in the apostolic evangelist, evangelist anointing. But I think I have a word for this church that if this church will do what he had brought out in that CD, in that message, that this church is going to see a great influx of new believers. Just like I was brought into Christ here because somebody was operating in the Spirit. In fact, the meeting that I attended as a lost soul was a supernatural charismatic meeting. That's how I got introduced to this thing. And they were flowing in the Spirit. And through that anointing and that release of the Spirit, it brought me into salvation. And I believe that there's going to be a great harvest here, conditional to this church praying in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit. There's two things that, and as I survey the Bible, there's two things that will bring you through that resistance, that barrier, quicker than anything else, and that's praying in tongues and worshiping in spirit and in truth. Right. Two things. Praying in tongues and worshiping in spirit and in truth. Why does that do that? Because you're exercising your spirit. 1 Corinthians 14:14 says this, that if you pray in the Spirit, your mind's not fruitful, your spirit is praying. And those that are joined to the Lord are one in spirit. So when your spirit's praying, it's the Holy Spirit and you together praying, and it's the perfect will of God. And so if I'm praying in the Spirit, half hour, hour, whatever, I know this, that God is praying through me His very perfect will, and guess what His will is? That people will get saved. So I believe there is going to be a direct correlation to not only all the gifts functioning, all the other eight, to praying in the Spirit and worshiping. That the more you're doing that, the more activity is going to be stirred up, the more people are going to get saved, the more people are going to get delivered. And by the way, that testimony, how beautiful is that? Of the young lady that was healed and set free and finances taken care of. That's, by the way, that's normal habitat life for the church. I mean, that should be every week. Those kind of testimonies should be happening here. But I believe there's a direct relationship to the amount of time spent praying in tongues and praying and worshiping God in the Spirit. That those two are exercising your spirit because we all know how to operate in the flesh. How many know how to operate in the flesh? How many are really good at it? I mean, I'm really good at it. You're really good at it. It's very normal. But we want it to become abnormal, and operating in the Spirit becomes normal. But how can we do that if we're not exercising our spirit? So God wants us to exercise the Spirit. Some of you, you work out, you're very athletic or you're very physical. And even the Bible says that a little exercise is profitable, right? And so I try to walk and I try to exercise myself. And it's good for you. But if I quit exercising, what happens? Or if you quit exercising, it looks like some of you have. You need to... Now, Chuck's the one that makes you cry. And by the way, I got to ride home 3 hours and 47 minutes, and I'll be crying the whole way home. But you exercise your body, hopefully, but you need to exercise your spirit. And the gift of tongues is one of the most powerful ways to exercise your spirit. So the kingdom of God, the realm of the Spirit, becomes normal. There's a direct correlation. That's one thing that since I've got baptized in the Holy Spirit that I've done a lot of hours. Every day I'm praying in tongues. And it ebbs and flows sometimes. But there's a direct correlation to what happens in my life out in the world and when I'm speaking in tongues, how much I'm speaking in tongues. It's not a legalistic thing. It's just because, by the way, it's not even you speaking or deriving the word. All you do is blow hot air and he forms the words. I mean, is that a good gift or what? I mean, that's all it is. He's forming the words. All you do is blow hot air. You know, a lot of you just blow hot air anyway. I mean, that's... You can see where this sermon's going. But I want to encourage you that I believe this church is going to be kicked up several notches as you begin to move into the realm of the Spirit. And I see many souls coming in. And I don't know if anybody here has a ministry to the college kids over here. Or whatever, which way it is. That way. I knew where it was. That way. How many have a ministry to draw in these college kids coming up here? They're coming here to be educated. How many wouldn't it be nice if somebody was called, set apart, to go into a ministry to bring those kids in this church and breach them? I don't know if anybody here has had that ministry, but I know that's what happened to me. I got captured because someone had a ministry to the college students. And I can tell you this, that many college students came to Christ during that time in the 70s. And so pray about that. You may be set apart to bring those people in. I want to talk about the gospel this morning of Jesus Christ. I want to turn to Romans chapter 1. And I'm going to go, we'll see how this ties in and kind of wraps up all that's happened in this conference. I want to go to chapter 1, verse 1 of the book of Romans. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, through whom we have received grace. We've received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all the nations for His name, among whom you are all called of Jesus Christ. And to all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. And first I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all at Mount Zion, that your faith is spoken about throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve. Listen to this. I serve with my spirit, where? In the gospel of His Son. I serve with my spirit, not my flesh. I serve with my spirit in the gospel of His Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by some means now at least I may find a way and a will of God to come to you, for I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift so that you may be established. And I want this morning to impart a spiritual gift so that you may be established in the ministry this church is called to. Amen? In the beginning we see that it's that he was a servant of Christ. A servant, that means he was set apart. That means he was consecrated to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And notice that it's the gospel of God. That's good news, because it's not your gospel. It's not the church's gospel, but it's God's gospel. And if it's God's gospel, that means he will uphold and empower his gospel or his good news. Amen? Now, the word gospel is an interesting word because it's framed by two different words. And the Greek word is, the word for gospel is euangelion. And the first part is spelled E-U, which is where we get the word eulogy. And the word eulogy is a good word about someone. It's a tribute. It's good news about a particular person. When somebody goes into a funeral, they have a eulogy. Someone leaves a good word, hopefully, about that person. The second part is spelled A-N-G-E-L-I-O-N. And that is about a messenger, or we get the word angel, a messenger from heaven. So you put the two words together, it's good news, a good information, good tribute by a messenger. So the word gospel is good news messenger. How many are good news messengers in here? Now, back in the ancient days, especially during when there was many battles and there was a lot of warfare, and they would go out and the men would go out into battle, they would have something called a watchtower back at home. And so the men would be out in battle and they'd be in another geographical location. And there was always a man assigned in the watchtower to see and wait for the messenger to come back with the news from the battle. Were they victorious or were they defeated? And so this watchman would have his eyes out over the field waiting for this particular messenger coming from the battle to tell the home base what has happened. And they became quite astute and proficient in recognizing what kind of a gait or how the messenger was running. And so they had really two descriptions that they were looking for, two different things. Was the messenger out in the distance? Was the gait sort of a survival shuffle? The heads down, looking defeated? Or were they leaping and dancing and running with joy like a deer? And so they got so good at looking out over the valley and seeing the guy running towards them, they could tell before he got here what kind of message he was going to bring. So if he saw him dancing and leaping with joy, he knew if they were victorious and there was a victory. And so before the guy even got in the gate, he would start telling everybody, "We won."
Amen.
Amen? But then there's the other kind, which is a survival shuffle. Or, and my question to you is, what kind of gait do you have? Are you a survival shuffle gait? When you're coming, you look like there's no joy, there's no excitement. And it has something to do with you haven't seen the victory. Because when Jesus Christ went into the grave and came out the other side, was ascended to His Father, I'm telling you, and the gospel was released by the Spirit, it is an exciting gate. You as a messenger should be leaping like a deer. Let's go over to the book of Isaiah. Chapter 52, verse 7. And this is where this comes out of in the Hebrew imagery. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of Him who brings good news. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of Him who brings good news, who proclaims peace, who brings glad tidings of good things, and who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, "Your God reigns." Amen? How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of them. How beautiful. Why? Because they have received and seen that Jesus Christ has been completely victorious and has overcome. And that is reflected in how they walk. It's reflected in how they talk. It's reflected in how they act. They're not acting like they're just surviving life, but they're acting like they have won. They've already read the book of Revelation. This thing ends well. How many know that? How many know that this whole thing ends really well?
Yes.
And greater is He who's in you than he that's in the world. And oh yeah, you'll have trouble in the world, but don't worry. I've overcome the world. And so God wants us to begin to have not a survival shuffle. There's a lot of people up in the watchtower looking. Is this going to be a victorious message? Or is this going to be not a so good of a message? What kind of message are you bringing to the people you run into on a weekly basis? Look at your feet. Do you see survival feet? Or do you see joyful, how beautiful feet? How beautiful are the feet upon the mount are those who are bringing this good news. If you go over to Isaiah chapter 40, verse 9, it says this, O Zion, you who bring good tidings, get up into the high mountain, O Jerusalem. You who bring good tidings, good news. Lift up your voice with strength. Lift it up and do not be afraid. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God shall come with a strong hand and His arm shall rule for Him. Behold, His reward is with Him and His work before Him. You who bring good tidings, get up into the mountains. Amen. One of the, I believe, the most powerful ways to get up in the mountain is through praying in tongues. I make it again my normal practice to pray in tongues often. As a result, I believe my gate is one full of joy. And God puts me in different situations quite often where He does all the work and begins to set it up because I believe of praying in tongues that He opens the door for divine appointment. How many would like more divine appointments? Where you don't have to get on a bus, be dropped off and start witnessing, but God actually brings those who need salvation to you because He knows you're not going to deliver a survival shuffle, but you're going to deliver some good news because you're a good news messenger. And there's a direct correlation, I believe, between tongues and worshiping in the Spirit and God opening the door for supernatural divine encounters. I remember one time I had been praying in tongues quite often, and my wife and I were going to buy a home. And how many know buying a home, that's a big investment, probably one of the biggest investments you'll ever make. So it's a pretty important decision. Well, I went to the real estate office to meet with our broker, our real estate broker who had sold us the house, and we were finishing up with the paperwork. And I walked into the real estate office, and it was they had some private offices around the edges, but this particular broker was in the middle of kind of a bullpen with all these desks and so forth, and he was at one of the desks. So he sat me down in the chair next to him, and he started going over the papers, and my attention, everything I was thinking about was on those papers that I was going to ink my name on. And because I knew that it would be it was a legal document, so I was very interested in what I was signing. Even though how many, when you go to these real estate things, they're so thick. I mean, it's like that commercial where they had papers stacked this high, and the guy thought it was too many papers, so he took one of the top pieces. Well, we'll put that one away, and we'll sign the rest of them. I mean, I don't know who reads all that stuff, but anyway, it was an important decision, and I'm sitting there talking to him, and my mind was on that. And then the Holy Spirit came up in my spirit. And He whispered this to my thoughts. He goes, I want you to begin to share your testimony. And here I am signing legal documents. And so I waited again. You know, it's always good to make sure you're hearing from God. Let it run through a couple of times. So I let it run through again. But the same impression came up. And I go, okay, I'm going to make this three times, God. I want to make sure this is You. And this could be the devil. I don't know. I'm signing some important papers here. And the voice came up and said, I want you to share your testimony. Well, anyway, I began to move into some questions, and then He opened the door for me, and we started interacting, and I started sharing my testimony, and I went into some apologetics just to break down the intellectual stronghold. Apologetics are just to break the intellectual stronghold. And then I started moving into the gospel of salvation, and this guy's listening. But there was another man at another desk, not a part of what we were doing, but he was listening to the whole thing. And so I'm finishing up, and as I'm talking to this man, not really talking to that man, he was just at his desk, the Lord said, see the man over there. And I said, yes. He goes, he's never been this close to me. That's what he said to me. And I said, okay. And he goes, I want you to say that to him. So I didn't say to the guy I was talking to, I said it to this guy. I said, you've never been this close to God. And he looked at me and he started shaking. And he said, no, I've never been this close to God. And what he did is he got up out of his chair in the middle of the business office and got down on his knees next to his desk. And the Lord said, now ask him if he wants to receive me. So I said, sir, would you like to receive me and receive Christ? And he said, yes, I do. And he ended up crying and he received Christ right there. I asked the guy, my real estate broker, if he would like to receive Christ. His face was already turned white. He said, I don't know. I don't know. And I said, okay, we'll go on from you. We'll do another transaction over there. And so we transacted, and immediately the Holy Spirit came into his spirit, took out the old one, the old stony heart, put God's Spirit went into him, and he was gloriously saved and has been following Christ ever since. But that happened in a business setting because I believe I was praying in the Spirit. Because when you pray in the Spirit, you're praying the perfect will of God. And as you pray the perfect will of God, He has will that He will put divine appointments in your path, as long as you don't have a survival shuffle, but you got a little leap in your walk, and you have the joy of the Lord, and you have some excitement about Jesus Christ. He'll open the door for you so that you can share your faith. And by the way, it won't be you sharing; it will be Him through you. If I've witnessed to many people out in daily circumstances, situations, and I don't think I've ever shared it, the gospel the same way. And I want to show you why. Let's go over to Mark chapter 13. A prophetic word came out this morning about the tongue. He taught last night about the tongue. In Mark chapter 13, verse 10, it says this, and the gospel must be first be preached to all the nations. That's a word from Jesus Christ. But when they arrest you and deliver you up, do not worry beforehand or premeditate what you will speak. Listen to this. But whatever is given you in that hour, speak that. For it is not you who speak, but what? The Holy Spirit. When I began to speak, I was following and saying what He told me to say. And then the words came out just like tongues come out. The words in English came out on how to share, even wrapped up as I was watching this happen through me, that apologetics came out. Then the gospel came out, and it just came, but it came by the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that was bringing my tongue out beforehand as I was praying in tongues. I was praying in another language, setting up this time so the same Holy Spirit would allow me to pray in English to bring a person to Jesus Christ. It's the Holy Spirit that brings to Jesus Christ. I remember I was at an airport. I was very tired. I was in Chicago, and I was downtown Chicago. I was on the way to the airport, and I was really tired. It's one of those times, you had an all day business, and you didn't really want to talk to anybody. Anybody been there where you just don't want to talk? And so I just told him, take me to the airport. And I had no plans of talking to this guy, even though they are the perfect candidate. Because you're paying money for them to take you from A to B. You know, what are they going to say? You know, I'm paying you money. You're going to listen to what I have to say. But this guy was driving, and I think he was Islam or something. But I didn't want to share. I was just tired. You know, sometimes I just... And then I closed my eyes, and I was just going to kind of sleep on the way to the airport. But the Holy Spirit came up in me. Even though the flesh, you know, was not willing, the Spirit was willing. And so the Holy Spirit came up in me, and he said to him, he asked me a question. Do you love this man? That was what came up to my mind. Oh no, I know where this is going. But I gave one of those biblical good answers. Well, you know, Lord, we talked about that. By the way, you'll see that in the Bible where God will ask a question. They go, well, you know. You know, that's a good answer because you can't go wrong on that. But I did say that, you know, Lord. And so he ended up, the Lord began to say to me, well, if I'm going to put my loves in you, I want you to just I want you to share with them the gospel. And I, in my heart, I was saying, God, you know how tired I am. And he goes, hey, just open your mouth. Let some hot air out. You know, really, just, he said, all you do, let me just do this. Just begin. Just open. Okay, so I did. I just opened my mouth and started saying words. And as soon as the first word came out, the resurrection power came up in me. And just like it says here, listen to this. Just like it says, you, what you will speak, but whatever is given to you in that hour, speak that, for it's not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. Go over to Matthew 10, quickly. In Matthew 10, it says it a little differently in verse 19, or verse starting in verse 18. It says, and you will be brought before governors and kings for my sake, as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak, for it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks where?
In you.
That's a promise of Jesus Christ. You know, evangelism is really easy. If you're praying in tongues and you are used to having the tongue guided by something called, in the Greek, glossolalia, if you are practicing speaking in tongues, how easy would it be for God to put English words in this and form the words and have Him witness to the people instead of you? Do you receive that?
Yeah.
Brother, get saved. All right. Okay, but notice, because I thought, you know, in the context of Mark 13 and Matthew 10, maybe, you know, this is only for this group of people when they are brought before, you know, world leaders, kings, and so governors. But then I saw one little part in this scripture in Matthew's version. In verse 18, it says, well, you're going to, yeah, governors and kings and so forth for my sake as a testimony to them. And, but it said this at the end of it, and to the Gentiles. That opens up the whole Bemidji. Is that good news? And to the Gentiles. Not just the leaders. Yeah, you'll be brought before the leaders, and then God will give. Certain people will be brought before governors and kings. Certain people. And certainly that happened here. Paul, it happened to him. But that's for a few. But to the Gentiles. That means to all the unsaved people, God will speak through you. That's why evangelism is so difficult for most people, because they're looking to have them come up with the right statements at the right time and to, from memory, pulling the four spiritual laws out and, you know, have them on the refrigerator and I got them memorized now. So I'm going to go in. I've already predetermined what I'm going to say. I'm going to say this. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Versus, you know, I'm off the hook here. All I got to do is be used to the Holy Spirit speaking out my tongue.
Good.
I'm going to say this again as a prophetic word for this church. If this church will rise up and begin to exercise the gift of tongues, you will see many, many more people come into the kingdom of God. Because it'll become your normal habitat. I'm speaking in another language from the Spirit, and I'm now also speaking in English from the Spirit.
Right.
Let's go over and look at that. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 14. All right, 1 Corinthians 14. And let's look at verse 13, 14, 13. For if I speak in a tongue, listen to this, my spirit prays. Everybody say, my spirit prays. But my understanding, that's your mind, you're not speaking from memory or your mind or your intellect, is what? Unfruitful. What is the result then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will also pray with understanding. That means you'll pray from the Spirit in another language which is coming from the Holy Spirit, but you don't know what He's saying. It's not, your mind's unfruitful. It's unfruitful to your mind, but it's not unfruitful to the kingdom of God. It is very fruitful to the kingdom of God. And so, and then it says, and then I will sing with the Spirit. I also will sing with the understanding. So you can sing with the mind. And so you can see that both, when you are praying in the Spirit, it's not your mind praying, it's your spirit praying. Those that are joined to the Lord are one in spirit. When the Holy Spirit came in and took residence inside of you, you now became the temple of the Holy Spirit. We can go to the Old Testament and see the pattern of the tabernacle in the Old Testament. You had the Holy of Holies, you had the holy place, you had the outer court. And so the outer court represents our body. You've had teaching here probably on this, or many of you have. In the Old Testament tabernacle, there were three areas of the tabernacle, and now it says our body is this tabernacle. Well, we have our physical body. We have the holy place, which you can't see. It's in a room. That's our soul. That's our mind, intellect, will, emotions. That's where our soulish realm operates. But then there's another area in our body called where the Holy of Holies is. That's where our spirit is. And so when the Holy Spirit came and I received Christ in Bemidji 35, 36 years ago, the Spirit of God came inside my spirit, which was dead, separated from God. It was regenerated. It came alive to God. And I started following God from that day forward. And I have followed Him all the way for 35, 36 years. It was a real thing. There was a regeneration that took place. And then about 4 or 5 years later, I began to hear that there was more. There was another unfolding, and that was the baptism in the Holy Spirit. The power to be a witness. There was another unzipping. I believe that when you get saved, the Spirit comes in. I believe the baptism or the power to be a witness is already resonant. It's already there. It needs to be unzipped. How many know when they do these computer transfers of big things of data, huge amounts of data, they zip it up? I don't know how it works, but they somehow zip it and make it small. And then you bring it to another, so you can transport it. Now you've got it transported, but it's all zipped up. And then what do you got to do on the other side? Unzip it. Well, some of you need to be unzipped. Amen. Good. Who needs to be unzipped in here? Okay, a lot of people. All right. Well, you're going to get unzipped today. How about that? We'll unzip you. We did a little bit of that last night. But you need to be unzipped so that all that God has put in you can begin to come out. I remember when I was waiting for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and I studied it out, and I realized it was another dimension of the Spirit of God. For my evangelical friends that aren't baptized in the Holy Spirit, it doesn't mean you're better than anybody else. It just means you're just unzipped a little more. And so, but I studied it, came to the conclusion that it was a real thing, a separate experience than my salvation here in Bemidji. And so I remember I was trying for 2 months to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I kept asking for it and, wanted people to pray for me. But I knew it was a good thing because in 1 Corinthians it said it's really a good thing to seek the gifts. It encourages us to seek the gifts of the Spirit. And so I was hungry for it. I was thirsty. I wanted more of God. And then I was reading a book called The Normal Christian Life by Watchman Nee. It's a classic. If you haven't read it, highly recommend it. It's The Normal Christian Life. You read that, you can probably read one half of the page at a time. You sit there, you read it, and you burn because the revelation's flowing. But I remember I wanted the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I met a friend of mine who I knew from when we were young, and he had moved to California and moved back, and he had received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I had not. And I said, I really want the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so we ended up saying, well, why don't you meet? We'll get together with my pastor, and we'll get together tomorrow morning. And I remember reading the book, The Normal Christian Life, and he's got one section on there talking about the kingdom of God, because the kingdom of God is in the Holy Spirit. You find that in Romans chapter 14, 13 in there. Is it the kingdom of God is not, you know, drink or meat. It's peace, joy, and righteousness. And the location of the kingdom of God is where? In the Holy Spirit. And so he was saying that the kingdom of God, or the realm of the Spirit, is at hand. I kept thinking it was way out there somewhere. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You know, this, what God has, is somewhere way out there. And he was, and Watchman Nee began to reveal that the kingdom of God is not way out there. It's at hand. It's with, it's right here. You just need to have your eyes open to see it. I fell asleep that night. That was the last thought before I dozed off. Got up in the morning, met with my friend and the pastor. We went into a room, a living room, small living room, and we're just chit-chatting. And my friend let the pastor know that I was interested in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And he said, okay. And then all of a sudden, he was a prophetic guy. You know, these prophetic people. And he goes, his head drops. And I'm starting to feel this presence come in the room. And I'm looking around, and he goes, and he looked up, and he put his, he goes, you're going to receive it right now. And his head dropped again. I looked over at my friend. He was sitting across there. His head dropped. Then all of a sudden, there's a mist coming in the room. And it started filling up with a cloud. This is true. A cloud started filling the room. The glory of God came into that room and was about to come into this room. And all of a sudden, I just took a breath. It started coming down. It started on my feet. I could feel the Holy Spirit coming down. I could just feel Him coming up. And He starts coming up. And I started just baptizing the Spirit. Right away, started getting words of knowledge. All the other, the nine gifts started operating in 1 Corinthians 12. What a glorious thing. And it was all for the benefit of the church. It was for the benefit of the church. I believe that God is calling this church to go deep into praying in your spirit.
Right. True.
Deep into worship and praise. How do you practically do worship and praise? And you can do it here. How many? But we're not here all the time. You're making the clear, articulating that this is not where it all happens, is in this room. It's outside this room. But what I do is that whenever I'm in my car, you got a number of choices. You can want, down in Minneapolis, we got the sports channel on KFAN. I don't know if you get that up here. I don't know if you got a sports channel. I love listening to the sports channel. But I can either do that, or I can put a CD in, of a worship CD, and begin to worship Him. Or I can do that, or begin to pray in tongues. And what the Lord has, whenever I'm in my car, what do? I'm either worshiping, or I'm praying in tongues. I'm either worshiping, or I'm praying in tongues. What's happening? I'm exercising my spirit. What's happening? The perfect will of God is being prayed out into heaven. What else is happening? God is setting up divine appointments. Divine appointments are going to be set up because His will is to bring people into the kingdom. So I don't have to go looking for Him. As you go, as you're about your business going into the world, He will bring people to you. You look at you read the book of Acts. I mean, Philip, you know, go out in the desert. He's out there. Okay, now what? A chariot starts coming with a eunuch from Egypt on it. He goes, go after him. The Holy Spirit says, go after him and begin. And he's reading the book of Isaiah. How cool is that? And he goes, hey, I don't even know what I'm reading. Can you explain this to me?
Yeah, it's an open door.
And he began to, starting with that chapter, began to explain to him and preach to him the gospel of Jesus Christ. Next thing you know, he's getting baptized, he got saved, and now he's in the water. And let me ask you this. Was Philip on a bus ministry? You know, I'm not against those, but I'm telling you that if you will pray in tongues and worship God in the Spirit, He will open up divine appointments. I remember I was on another airplane And I, because I fly frequently, and I was assigned to coach, but they bumped me up to first class, which I thought was really cool because I had a lot of miles. And so I got, they bumped me up free to first class. So now I'm sitting up in first class thinking I'm pretty cool. And there's a man to my left, very well dressed, had a very expensive suit, very expensive watch. Found out that he's a big executive at a major insurance company. I happen to have a Derek Prince book, and I was opening and reading it. He kind of looked at it and said, "Is that something about the Bible?" I said, "Yes, it is." And so I thought, great, you know, he wants to talk about it. So we started talking about it, the book. And then we got quiet, you know, got a little bit of history on him. He was a deacon at a Baptist church in the Twin Cities. He was on the building committee. And so I'm sitting next to this man, very successful, had been praying in tongues a lot that day. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit said to me, "I want you to tell him your testimony." That thought just comes up to my mind. How does God speak to you? Most through thoughts. How many believe that's probably not the devil? You know, you got to have discernment what the thoughts are. But, you know, if he says, "Share your testimony," that's probably not the devil. So I shared my testimony with him. How I was an Episcopalian, grew up in the church, went to confirmation. I was confirmed, lost. The bishop laid his hands on me, confirmed, lost. But came to college and told him how somebody asked me, "Do you believe in Jesus Christ?" And I said, "Yes, I do." "Do you believe he's the Son of God?" "Yes, I do." "Is he your Lord and Master?" I couldn't say yes to that. That question pursued me here in this city until I was in my off-campus apartment and they gave me a little pamphlet on the back where I could make him Lord and Master. It was a little thing in the back you could read through and confess. And I did. I got down on my knees by myself, confessed, made him Lord and Master. Just, I intellectually believed in him, but he wasn't my Savior. He was the Savior. But he wasn't my Savior. And so at that moment, he became my Savior. And immediately what happened was the laws of God, just like the New Testament says, I didn't know this, went into my heart. I was a hockey player, a lot of Canadians up here, a lot of swearing. How many know that? Been around this? Any of you swear in here? I'll introduce you to Chuck. You'll get your crying instead. So, I am now continuing in my lifestyle. I quit swearing immediately. Didn't want to swear anymore. As soon as the Spirit went in, the swearing went out. But I didn't know the Bible, and I kept going in some of my patterns of lifestyle of a hockey player. But now I'm driving home, and I'm crying in my car over what just happened. Last week, I would be bragging down at the Beaver Pond about, I don't know if the Beaver Pond's still here. It was 3-2 beer, by the way. It's terrible. That was the worst beer I ever drank. Now, this is 36 years ago. So. But anyway, now I'm crying over the very same behavior. And the Holy Spirit kept showing me, because the law was in my heart and I knew what was right and what was wrong. And then later I found it, it's in the Scriptures. That's why I didn't want to do that anymore. It says not to do that anymore. It's not good for you. And or do this because it's good for you. And so I started doing that. But that began this whole new relationship with Jesus Christ. Meanwhile, back to the guy on the plane. Up in first class. Got to go back there. So then the Holy Spirit says to me, we're all quiet, and he goes, I want you to tell this man something. And I go, what would that be, Lord? And he said, I want you to tell him that I want him, and I want him right now. Now, he's on the building committee at the Baptist Church. Another one of those times, I'm going to let that one run through again. I let it run through two times, three times. And then my heart starts pounding. When your heart starts pounding, that's a good thing. That's probably God. So I said, "Sir, I've got to tell you this because I think the Holy Spirit just spoke to me." And he said, "God wants you and he wants you right now." The guy looked at me, his jaw dropped. He immediately started crying. And he said to me, "Tom, I don't know Jesus like you know him. Will you pray for me? Because I just know him like you did intellectually. But he's not my Lord. He's not my Master. He's not my Savior." We held hands in that first class and he received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior right at that moment. I believe that it was a direct result of praying in the Spirit, praying in tongues, going after God in tongues. Amen. Let's just go to Titus real quick and we'll close with this. Titus. Somewhere in the back. No, we're going to go to Jude. Excuse me. Not Titus. Jude. Jude. The little book right slipped in between John, the little John's, and the book of Revelation. I don't know why they put it there because I can never find it. It's kind of stuck in that little page. And let's go to chapter 3. Just seeing if he knows there's only one chapter. So I thought he'd be there and start reading it. Okay, just checking. Okay, just checking. But if we go to Jude 1:20, because there's only one chapter. "But you, beloved, members, visitors of Mount Zion Church in Bemidji, Minnesota, building yourselves up in your most holy faith." How? How can you build yourselves up in your most holy faith? By what? Praying in the Holy Spirit. "Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto to eternal life." I believe that's a powerful scripture because you're building your faith. You're building love. How many would like more compassion for the lost? You know, because I know there's evangelistic training and you leave there feeling very shamed and condemned because you don't have what it takes to do that. You can give all the information, but it still doesn't ignite a church to go out and share their faith because it's based on a lot of soulish effort. And that's why it's so hard, and you walk out of there going, "I'd like to do it. I know I should be sharing my faith, but I just don't, it just doesn't work that easy for me." And some people are going to be called more to share your faith than others. But whatever level you're called to share your faith, if you will begin to pray in tongues more and more and more and more and begin to worship God in the Spirit by worshiping and praising Him where at your car or up here, wherever you are, and begin to go after God and start exercising the Spirit, which is one with the Holy Spirit, then what will come out, you'll be so used to tongues coming out, praying God. I believe the Father is interested, as you're praying the perfect will of God, He's causing angels to ascend and descend and come up and set up divine appointments in taxi cabs, in real estate offices, on airplanes. You won't have to be sweating about, "Oh, I should share my faith." You can't stop sharing it because God keeps bringing people to you and all you do is breathe hot air.
Amen.
That's the end of my sermon. Stand up. That's the shortest sermon I've ever preached. Hallelujah. But I think just if you can capture what God was saying, I believe it's a prophetic word for this church. And Chuck, Plumline Prophetic Ministry to the church, this is a message I've already told you. You're going to take this to churches. This is something that it's going to ignite a revival and awakening in the United States. The church and the members of the church are going to come and begin to operate in the Holy Spirit. And remember, when you're on this side of the sound barrier, you're in the natural realm. You know, action, reaction, one for one. You bust through the barrier. And by the way, it's hell getting through this. Satan doesn't want you there. Your flesh doesn't want you there. But if you come through, and now you're in this, and I believe tongues is one of the, is the engine that brings you through. One of the major, not the only, but it's one of the Word of God. In the Word of God. Being revealed. By the way, when you pray in tongues, you'll start reading the Scriptures, and the Scriptures are going to come alive. Because when your spirit's activated, it will open up and bring forth a revelation of Jesus Christ, the resurrected Christ. And if you've got a sort of a survival shuffle, Christianity, you start praying in tongues more and more. You start worshiping God in spirit. And what will happen is you're going to go into a whole new realm of God. And you'll be so busy advancing the kingdom of God. And you know what? It will be no sweat. The energy, the power, even the words are not going to come. How many think this is good news? What do? Open your mouth? But your spirit now is so connected to the tongue. That's normal for you now. That's more normal than my mind pushing out words. What would happen if my spirit became the more normal? Then the habitat is the habitat of God. Let's pray. Let's just begin to pray in the Spirit. If you have that gift. If you don't have that gift and you would like that gift, you can come up here up front and we will pray for you. Father God, I pray that you would release the gift of tongues to your people. Father, I pray that they would go to new dimensions, new ability, Father, to pray from their spirit. That they would become normal for them to, their tongue would be guided by the Spirit of the living God. That they would be guided by the Spirit of the living God. That, Father, they would be praying in the perfect will of Father in heaven. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Father, I pray that you would bring forth the kingdom of God, that you would bring forth divine encounters, that you would bring forth salvation, that souls would be saved and brought in the kingdom. Father, I pray for miracles. I pray for healings. I pray for divine encounters. I pray, Father, for finances. I pray for household situations and relationships. I pray that, Father, you would break the demonic powers. You would break all those things that oppose the kingdom of God. And that, Father, that the Spirit of God would begin to rise up in your people. And they would become spiritual men, spiritual women, no longer carnal, no longer fleshly, but become spiritual men and women, no longer operating as miracles. mere men or women, but operating in the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit. I pray, Father, that in their business life, in their lives they go, if they're a home mother, mom at home, or they're somebody at work, that God, that they would begin to even do their job at work through the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray that You would ignite them and bring them into a whole new realm in the name of Jesus Christ. Yeah. I just pray for outpouring now, Father. And if you want the baptism in the Holy Spirit for the first time, come up here if you haven't had that gift. Or if you want to go to another level, I want you to come forward. And we're going to pray for you. If you want to go to a new dimension of tongues. And that's where you go beyond a few sentences. You go beyond even one language, but you go into multiple languages. You go into multiple ability to pray in tongues. To pray not just sentences, but paragraphs and volumes. You begin to pray a larger counsel of the will of God from the Spirit. And then you begin to move into a whole new... Come up here quickly.